The Dow dropped nearly 1,000 at the open today, and that was before the World Health Organization announced that while we are not yet seeing a pandemic, the world is not ready to deal with a global outbreak of COVID-19, the disease caused by the new coronavirus. There are now confirmed cases in Afghanistan, Bahrain, Iraq, and Kuwait. And while the majority of COVID-19 cases are still in China, there are at least 800 people with the virus in South Korea. At least 12 people have died from it in Iran, schools and cultural centers across 14 provinces shut down in an attempt to control the outbreak. In Italy, at least 219 people have tested positive for the virus, leading the government to ask people who may have been exposed to quarantine themselves at home. Well, that's a tactic other cities around the world are also taking to contain the virus's spread. For instance, here in the U.S., in King County, Washington, which includes Seattle, 400 people who've recently traveled back from China are monitoring themselves. Others who are at the highest risks for COVID-19 are in home quarantine. And it's public health workers who are helping them. Dr. Megan Kay is a medical epidemiologist. She's leading containment efforts for Seattle and King County, Washington. Dr. Megan, you've had people going in and out of quarantine as they're cleared, but about 16 at one time, people determined to be at high risk. And so you're helping them with everything they need. What does that include?
So that includes making sure they have enough food, and we provide them food for a few days at a time. We have them fill out a grocery list so that we can meet their dietary needs and provide food that they're comfortable eating. We also provide meal kits, which include paper plates, bowls, cups, silverware, and then hygiene kits for shampoo, conditioner, soap, lotion, things like that that they may not be able to get out and get if we're asking them to stay home. We also make sure that they have thermometers and masks so they can measure their temperature daily, and masks in case they need to seek health care so that they don't expose a waiting room full of people. We also want to make sure that they have good Wi-Fi, great internet access while they are staying home and away from other people so that they can stay connected with family and friends and even work if they're feeling well.
Well, this is wild. You're kind of like Peapod, you know, a shopping service for people. But you're doing this. I mean, just so I've got this right, this is a cost to your agency, to the state.
Exactly. So we're doing the best we can with limited resources. This was really taxing our disease investigation group here. And so we identified locally within our health department an isolation and quarantine coordinator that could take on some of this burden from our disease investigation team and help coordinate delivery of groceries and delivery of other things that people might need while they're staying isolated. They're also helping to coordinate access to other services like insurance if people don't have insurance access, or things like helping with documentation that might be needed for employers or for FMLA, things like that.
FMLA?
Yes, the family medical leave so that they can get support while they're staying out of work.
I mean, this is just amazing, everything that your workers are doing. I mean, you mentioned Wi-Fi and shampoo, but it also might mean housing. It might mean being able to continue their faith. Maybe they need a counselor because this is frightening. I mean, do I understand you also might get someone help if they're getting a little panicky?
Absolutely. We do provide them access and refer them to counseling services if that's needed. Other things, like you said, if they aren't local King County residents that are here on business or travel and for some reason or another need to be isolated or quarantined, then we have looked into providing them a place to stay for the night at a local motel that we've worked with. Yeah. And so it does go beyond with just the basics of food to trying to make sure that they have other needs met, behavioral health needs as well.
And how do your workers stay safe? We know that, you know, people on ships were told to stay 6 feet away from each other, which, by the way, might have worked for people in their cabins, but it didn't work for the workers on the ship who are sleeping dormitory style. But how are your workers making sure they're safe?
Our workers don't have close contact with the people that are being isolated. So they deliver the groceries and supplies at the door, and then the person who's being isolated will collect those after our public health staff have left. Sometimes if they need to actually be seen in a hospital setting, like if they need a chest x-ray or something like that, then we have worked with local ambulance companies to provide that transport safely, because we don't want them using public transportation.
Of course.
The other option is that we have a home assessment team that we have worked with in collaboration with our local hospital. And so that team can actually go out to the home or other isolation location and do an evaluation of patients if they need it.
Look, your assistance, I'm sure, is such a benefit and such a comfort to these people. But it occurs, it also means that you're on the front lines of this and your workers will know if someone breaks the quarantine, you know, if they leave their house. I'm wondering if that's a part of it. But also, we're hearing from our NPR colleague Jason Bobian in Hong Kong that, you know, you've had to deal with 16. In Hong Kong, it's thousands, and officials there, you know, can't go to door to door. So some people who are at higher risk are being fit with wrist monitors, kind of like an ankle bracelet, so they can be tracked. So is part of your work keeping an eye on people as well? Are you considering what happens if you actually do have to put people on some sort of a tracking device to make sure they don't leave?
Right now, we've had tremendous support and cooperation from the people who are being asked to separate themselves. And so they are being asked to do this voluntarily, and everyone that we've worked with has complied. So that hasn't been a big problem for us. But we do anticipate that there will eventually be sustained person-to-person transmission. And so right now, this is just a strategy to buy us some time while we prepare for more widespread transmission here.
Wow. If people are wondering, what is it that you will, you know, go purchase for these people? You have a shopping list there?
Yeah, when we are asking somebody to separate themselves, we ask them to fill out a grocery list. And so an example from one person was 2 to 3 green vegetables of any kind, a bottle of juice, some skim milk, fruit, plain spaghetti, fresh tomatoes, plain oats, and some beef. So that's an example. We ask them to provide us with that because everyone has their own dietary restrictions and dietary needs, and we want them to have the food that they need to be comfortable.
Your office sent us another list. It included Tostitos avocado salsa.
Yes, you know, I saw that.
Tough to be there without snacks. But, you know, this is just a great service. People need food. But, why else do you do this?
There are a couple of reasons why we do it. We are asking people to isolate or quarantine themselves, and in doing that, they're giving up some of their freedom for the greater good, to protect the health of others in the community. And so it's really the right thing to do to support them. But also, of course, it helps ensure that they're able to be compliant with our directions.
You mentioned such an important thing. They are voluntarily sacrificing their liberty for the greater good.
Exactly.
I'm sure cities and counties are listening closely to you. What can they learn from you? What's been the cost so far?
It's been really expensive and resource intensive for our team. We started this the day that the first case in the United States was identified here in Washington in our neighboring county, and that was January 21st. And we've been going really nonstop since that. A lot of these issues pop up in the evening after hours, and we have a team available 24/7. We are spending over $200,000 every week, and we've redirected staff from other departments. We have over 100 people working in our department to contain COVID-19 here.
And so looking to the federal government maybe for more funds?
Yes, we are asking for more support and resources at the local level. It is not sustainable to do this kind of work at this pace and this volume with the resources that we have.
Yeah.
We absolutely need more support.
Well, Dr. Megan Kay, we're going to let you go back to your good work. She's in charge of COVID-19 containment efforts in King County, Washington. That includes Seattle. Really quite something. Dr. Kay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, as Dr. Kay mentioned, the first reported patient with COVID-19 in the U.S. was in Washington State. Health officials now say that person has fully recovered and is free from home isolation. And by the way, Americans who were evacuated from that Diamond Princess cruise ship in Japan are in quarantine in several locations in the U.S., including in Texas, Nebraska, and California. So what's happening in Seattle is perhaps a cautionary tale for health officials across the country.